Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Wright.
I'm just going to start by saying go blue.
I was worried it wasn't going to work. I was like, oh shit, is it not hooked up?
I hit it and I missed. I didn't fat finger it. I did like nothing. I hit the screen and nothing happened. It's Wednesday night, man. A little later than normal, but hey, that's what happens when you're traveling with a 2-year-old. And here I am in my favorite shirt. I can't wait for people to talk about that.
Don't worry. I totally threw you under the bus on the winged helmet. I made sure that people knew what the reason was for the delay. So
yeah, well,
you might get some shit here in the comments. So look at Austin Cooper. The shirt is back.
The shirt is back, baby.
All of its glory.
It's clean as a whistle this time. This is my ride home shirt. Nice and comfy, little dry fit, little loosey goosey.
You're
feel great, man.
You're an athlete.
A little 7-hour drive from Wisconsin with a 2-year-old in the backseat. I felt like the damn Griswolds, dude. We had stuff piled up in every single nook and cranny of that vehicle.
Trying to get back here.
And here I am, dude. Made it a little later than we expected. But, you know, like we were just talking about this, man. Trying to get home in a decent time, but not have the kids sit in the car seat for 7 straight hours. So you stop, you get them out, you run them around a little bit, you do this, you do that. We're here. We're here and we're ready to talk a little bit of Michigan basketball, just a little bit, because there is a game coming up tonight. And then obviously Michigan football.
I keep forgetting basketball is happening.
It's happening. And tonight's, you know, the Big Ten ACC challenge is going on. The Big Ten's handling itself very well. Michigan's got a chance to make a little bit of a statement. I mean, North Carolina's not ranked, but it's still UNC. It's still in Chapel Hill. So we'll see if Michigan can get back to some winning ways a little bit. Obviously, they've struggled in their 2 losses this year. So we'll see what that looks like here in about an hour. So we're going to wrap it up at right around 9. That way everybody can get settled in, get situated, and get themselves ready for the basketball game. And then we'll be back again on Friday from Indy. We talked about maybe being in Indy on Friday, but it turns out we won't be there.
No need to be there on Friday.
No need to be there on Friday. So we're super excited about that.
But a lot of need to be there on Saturday.
Yeah.
A lot of need, man.
Things are happening. Balls are rolling. I'm excited about it.
Championships are happening.
So Chris and I have talked a lot throughout the week while I was at in Wisconsin with my family, just about like, you know, what the driving arrangements and when should we get there and what are we going to do? We're going to try to meet up with some people. We got this. I've got a buddy that lives in Carmel. We're going to try to see him. So like, and then earlier today, we were on the phone and Chris was like, do you realize we haven't even really talked about the fact that they're playing the freaking Big Ten championship on Saturday? It's been like the logistics stuff and trying to work everything out so that we know what the hell we're doing and where we're going. And now it's just a few days away, dude. And it still doesn't even seem real. It's crazy.
No, and I think it's because it's happening real quick. Like for some odd reason, maybe it's just because Michigan's never played in it. But I was thinking like, all right, there's a couple weeks to adjust. And it's like, nope. Right back at it the following weekend. And so it's so weird, man. I don't really look forward to Big Ten championship games because it usually includes teams I don't want to watch and I don't want to see win. So not only am I excited for the Big Ten championship game this year, it just so happens that Michigan's in it. So like a kid in a candy store, man.
For real. I hadn't seen this. I see several people putting it up on the comments over here that Dave Portnoy, I don't know what his official title is. What is it? Founder, owner, CEO of
El Presidente. Yeah. El Presidente.
Whatever his actual title is, Michigan grad, loves U of M, and he's apparently providing buses for people to get to Indy. That's awesome. I mean, he does a lot of stuff like that. People usually have a pretty strong opinion on the guy. I think he does a lot of good shit. He runs his mouth. That's kind of what he does. That's his shtick. That's how he's got to where he's got. And, you know, it is cool that he is making it able for some people to get there that maybe wouldn't be able to get there otherwise. So anyway, that's pretty neat. I hadn't seen that. And, you know, we'll continue to track what that looks like. I've heard some different crazy things about, you know, Ohio State fans booked up all the rooms and then they didn't want to give them up, even though they're not going, just to kind of stick it to Michigan fans. whatever, man. Michigan's playing, Ohio State's not. Do whatever the hell you want, Buckeye fans. I don't care. I will be there.
We got bunk beds. Okay. This is how committed we are. This is how committed we are to covering Michigan football. Brandon and I are sleeping in bunk beds, and he's already called top bunk. And I wish I were lying, but this is true.
No,
late 30. We're in our late 30s, two dads, two husbands, just bunk beds.
Chris, there's three sets of bunk beds. You can go in that's top okay. two.
Okay.
The place we found.
What's the point of having a bunk bed if you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to utilize said bunk bed?
We can high five across the top.
We could move it around and make room for activities.
Do whatever we want to do.
There's no telling what could happen.
Do whatever we want to do. We're a little bit outside of the dude. There's nothing in Indy. There's nothing in Indy in terms of hotels, Airbnbs, Vrbo, whatever, VRBO, however you say that, whatever. There's nothing available unless you want to pay like $2,000, which I don't. So we're staying a little bit outside of the city, but that's cool. We're still just going to be, in Indy. All that room is going to be used for is sleeping the night after the game. Everything else is going to be in Indianapolis. So I don't know who we'll bump into and who we might see down there, but I'm looking forward to it, man. Cannot freaking wait to get there. So it is Wednesday. If anybody has questions or comments or anything that we want to talk about, start letting it roll. We'll start getting into it. We'll start talking about some different stuff. Yeah, you caught the Step Brothers reference, of course. Of course. Oh, yeah. How much room for activities?
I was the one who actually used it, which is maybe you're starting to rub off on me a little bit.
I do use a lot of movie quotes. It's true. It's true. My wife can't stand it. Chris is a fan, I think.
It depends. I mean, I love Seinfeld references. You know, if I get it, if I get it. And if I don't get it, usually I just pretend like I do.
There's a good one to start us off. Thoughts on Domani Jackson? Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm really, really surprised. He was at that game, palling around with Will Johnson. Chris, you made mention of all the different comments that Will Johnson had coming out of his mouth after the game. Some of the stuff Domani Jackson himself said. Put this big post up, big announcement coming. And it was just to drop Michigan from his final group. He's now considering only USC, who obviously has a new head coach, and that's going to be a big, big deal out west. Lincoln Riley moving from Oklahoma to USC and Alabama. So it's USC or Alabama for Domani Jackson, I guess. Thoughts, man. I after being there on Saturday, I'm shocked that he was so quick to cut Michigan out of the picture.
You know what? I'm not shocked by it because I've seen enough at this point in recruiting to where you kind of just have this gut feeling about players and what's going to happen with them. And I never got the sense that he was going to end up a Wolverine. But yeah, you're right. It does. It was a little bit weird to, like, you know, put out this post or whatever that this announcement's coming, and then on the heels of such a big game that you were at and all this positivity coming out of it, you know, that Michigan wasn't going to be a part of it. But at the end of the day, like, here's the thing. Anytime a kid from out west, from California, commits to the University of Michigan, until he's on campus, I'm not putting any stock in it whatsoever. I don't know that there's an issue with West Coast recruits. I just know that I've been felt like I've been burned enough on California recruits to where we'll see what happens. I don't expect a lot from out west. And I think it has a lot to do with weather. Maybe he, you know, the snow started coming down. It got a little chilly out there. Maybe it was like, it's cool, but anyway, for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll throw this one up too. Brian Kelly is a POS. I agree, but not because of this coaching change thing.
He's just a bad person.
Totally unrelated. I mean, I don't like the guy. He looks like a purple tomato. He's vaguely responsible.
Always shouting.
Literally. I don't like the guy, but not because
of
the
guy.
Dude, coaches leave jobs all the time. You can dislike it all you want. You can look.
Well,
at
here's the thing though. Did you hear about the sequence of events and how you know, like, to me, I guess it was a very quick, you know, 7 a.m. get together with his players, 2 minutes, didn't take any questions, left. Everybody found out via text. Like, it seems to me that if you're going to leave, like, there's just a better way to do it. But again, at the end of the day, this is all business now. That's where college football is now, with not just the coaches, but with the student athletes as well. And so he made a business decision that he thought was best for him. But the fact still remains, just as a person, I don't like him. He's just not a likable guy.
That's how I feel too. That's how I feel too. And like I said, I mean, this is just whatever. I don't know, whatever. I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. I was talking to my dad about this. Like, it doesn't seem like is LSU like a head and shoulders better job than Notre Dame?
I don't think so, man. I think if you get that Notre Dame job, that's a pretty cushy gig if they want to keep you around. And I mean, it sounds like Luke Fickell is at the top of the wish list for the Irish and that Catholic connection and all that stuff. So I think that's where that's going to be trending, and we'll see what that means for Cincy and for Notre Dame.
I'm going to let you answer this first, Chris, because I feel like you've been at the forefront of just your feelings on this whole vibe. Any chance that Michigan looks past Iowa at this point?
No, not at this point. And it's for the same reason. Like I feel like I say it going into every single game. This, like, I know fans get worried when we talk about, you look back and you're still talking about Ohio State and you're looking beyond and possibly talking college football playoff about being locked in for some odd reason. But I can tell you that the coaches and the players are absolutely 100% locked in on the task at hand. They are different mentally. The mental makeup of this team is different. It's why they were able to battle back and win in Happy Valley. It's why they were able to kick the shit out of the Buckeyes at home. It's why they're in the Big Ten championship. And I think it's why they're going to be in the college football playoff. It's the mental makeup of this team. Yes, they're extremely talented, but mentally, I think they're operating at a different level right now, and it's going to carry them into the college football playoff. And it's crazy. I said this to you earlier. Like, we were texting about possibilities, like matchup, like, get Georgia or Bama's going to move here or whatever. And I'm like, it's crazy that we're even having this conversation and that it's probably going to happen. I mean, it's probably going to happen, right?
I think the most realistic scenario is that Michigan is playing Cincinnati or Oklahoma State in the first round of the playoff, which is
unreal. About
best case scenario, because, well, I was going to bring a little bit of that up, see if anybody else brought it up, but since we're here and we're talking about it right now, I think we all need to be Georgia fans this weekend. And this is a back and forth that Chris and I had, and we'll see how it shakes out. The committee certainly does love Michigan. It's a huge brand. We've saw multiple stats now where Michigan games have been the most watched games of the season. Like, that's not a surprise, and that's going to drive some of the discussion. But I think there's a precedent set already, because Michigan was number 5, beat number 2, and moved up to number 2, that if Alabama is number 3 and beats number 1, they'll move up to number 1. I think they would jump Michigan and move to number 1. I think Alabama, if any school in the country has the cachet and the power and the pull that Michigan does, it's Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban and all the titles and all that. So I think Michigan fans need to be Georgia fans this weekend, because if Georgia wins, they're going to stay at number 1. They're going to knock Bama out of the playoff. Michigan's going to stay at number 2, which means they're going to get a number 3 matchup with, maybe it's Cincinnati, maybe it's Oklahoma State, maybe it's Notre Dame. I don't think they have a shot at this point. I think that's one of the reasons why Brian Kelly dipped. I don't care who it is out of those 3. Michigan's going to be favored in that game.
Yeah.
And they're going to be Michigan's going to be playing for a goddamn national title, dude.
I wish there was a way.
What is happening?
The week leading up to the Western Michigan game, I could have just taken that clip of you talking about these scenarios and played it for you and told you, like, this is going to be an actual conversation that happens in December.
Unreal, dude. It's so freaking wild, man. And there's so many comments, dude. Guys, I scrolled down to see what was being talked about when we just kind of went off a little tangent right there. And now I'm trying to go back up, and I can't even see the comments that were there before, because so many are loading in. So again, always apologize if I'm skipping over you. It's not intentional, but they really just come in way, way faster than we can get to them. So I'll just kind of pick up right here at one of the next ones I saw. This was already 5 minutes ago. So Jonah, how far does a potential win Saturday go for recruiting? I think there's already been a big step forward when it comes to recruiting. I think so many of the things that teams used to be able to negative recruit Jim Harbaugh and Michigan for, they can't anymore.
Yeah.
Just the new heights. You beat Ohio State on a national stage like that. Everybody saw it. Every single recruit in the country saw that, saw how they're playing. I talked to Chris about this. I still have to put the story out. Thought I'd be far more productive at the Dells than I was. Apologies across the board.
Hold on. You thought that there would be productivity at the Dells?
I thought
the Dells and productivity doesn't go
together.
They don't go together.
No, they don't. I thought there'd be time at night when I could wind down a little bit, but then that was just hanging out with my sister and my brother-in-law, who I don't get to see very much, and my parents. It just, I don't know. There was not a lot of opportunity for me to sit down with the laptop and bang out a column. So anyway, that'll be coming in the next day or so. Or I thought maybe, shit, I'll just wait until Michigan beats Iowa, and then I can fold that into my five reasons why this win was a huge deal. Anyway, whatever. What I was about to say, though, was I just think that we've talked about it, man. All those different things that we talked about with what people say negatively about Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and what they haven't done, you can't say them anymore. You just can't. And we talked about several specific positions that I feel like should look directly at Michigan and be like, I want to play there, because they got the better education of any of the other teams around them in this college football playoff discussion than we can. It's not even close. And you talk about running back, you talk about O-line, and you talk about edge rusher, hybrid guys, DN slash line.
If you are
why not?
Five-star, like top, nationally highly ranked edge rusher in the country, I can't imagine that, Michigan isn't going to be very high on your wish list. Look at guys like Winovich and Pay, and you can go down the line. Michigan year after year is just churning these guys out. And man, David Ojabo has been such a pleasant surprise this year. And his story is awesome. And the combination of Ojabo and Hutchinson on the edge, I think, just how successful they've been and the fact that they can get themselves into the college football playoff. It's huge for recruiting. It's a complete game changer. Just like Brandon said, all of those old narratives, they've gone away. All of those talking points about how Jim Harbaugh can't get to Indy, Jim Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State, Jim Harbaugh will never do these things. By winning that game, he put a lot of those demons to bed. And now it's just, now we see how good this team can be. And it looks like they might go pretty far this year. And it's just unreal.
It is. It's unreal. Daniel Langston, this is a great question. It's another part of that column I'm going to put together. Does another school or the NFL make a run at Mike McDonald? I think the NFL is the bigger worry. I do. I don't think he's going to leave for another DC job. And I don't think he's ready for a head coaching job at any level. We're talking about a 33, 34-year-old guy 1 year into the college coaching profession at the defensive coordinator spot. He's been really good, but I just don't know if you're going to see a college program throw an offer at him that's good enough to make him leave Michigan, which in my opinion would have to be a head coaching job. I mean, he's not going to leave for another DC job. It just doesn't make any sense. My only concern would be that maybe an NFL team says, hey, this dude's got 7 years experience in the NFL. He's been with the Ravens, a storied, historically successful program. And now he just went to Michigan and called a defense for the first time ever. And they're really freaking good. And look where Michigan's at. Let's bump him up and give him a DC job in the NFL. I think that's the biggest concern, but it's just a year. It's so new to him still. I can't see him. Even as I'm talking through it, I'm thinking like maybe there's a chance that I didn't think through. I don't know. I don't think he's going to leave. I don't think he's going to entertain a job at this stage of his career with what he just did at Michigan and what they could potentially keep building on. What do you think about that, Chris? I mean, you see coaches leave at the drop of a dime. Yeah. I mean, we're seeing it across the board right now, but I don't see that with McDonald. I just don't.
Well, to answer the question, I would say, yeah, I think somebody's going to make a run at him because Michigan's had a hell of a year and it's a high profile job. And I'm sure he's being discussed. I mean, look at what happened with Linguist and he got the head coaching job at Buffalo. Now, I don't know what McDonald's long-term aspirations are in terms of whether or not he wants to be a head coach or what he wants to do, but I'm certain that there's going to be offers that come his way following, what they were able to do this season, given how things looked last year and how successful they were against Ohio State. And so, yeah, certainly there's going to be some offers coming his way. But to Brandon's point, I don't know that there's going to be an opportunity just yet that's going to be worth leaving the situation he's got in Michigan, especially, if they've got this thing rolling and they feel confident about what they've got coming back next year. Michigan is also a very attractive place to be. It pays well. It's, Ann Arbor is a beautiful place to live. It's a good community. There's a lot of reasons to stay at the University of Michigan.
No doubt. No doubt. I like this question from Ron Thomas, and I think it's an easy answer, but then I don't know. Maybe it's not as easy as I feel. More likely that Michigan runs for 200 yards or passes for 200 yards against Iowa. I would say run. I mean, they've just been so good at it, but like, And Iowa's pass defense is pretty good, man. I think they're like leading the nation in interceptions, aren't they? They're up there. They were at one point. So I would say run. I don't know. Am I off the mark on that, Chris? Where did your mind go right away?
Not based on what we saw last weekend. I mean, if Hassan Haskins can run like that against Ohio State, I would imagine that he can probably run like that against Iowa. I don't know that defense is all that much better up front than what they faced with Ohio State. And so we'll see. Jeff, I'm getting distracted with the comments on the side here. You know, we'll see, but I would lean towards rushing for sure because Hassan Haskins has just been playing on another level, and that offensive line is meshing at the right time for sure.
Yeah, I think it's rushing, but we'll see. I mean, I think Michigan's going to continue to be pretty balanced. They've been better at that as the year's gone on. So, yeah, we'll see. And this question, Joseph, do you guys really see Michigan going to the Natty if it's Cincy or Oklahoma State? Yeah. I do. Yeah. I really think that the most realistic scenario right now is that Georgia beats Alabama. Michigan is at the number two spot, gets a matchup with Cincinnati or Oklahoma State, and beats either one of those teams to play Georgia in the national freaking title game.
I mean, here's the thing. Look what they did against the number two team in the country, a team that most people believed was 1A and 1B with Georgia. I mean, they beat the shit out of them. And when you do something like that, then all bets are off. Then every team you face it's a possibility. So yeah, certainly, realistically, if they got to play Cincy or another or whoever they face in the first round, this is a team that can absolutely not just get to the national championship game; they can win it. They're playing at that level right now. Brandon, they are playing at a national championship level.
It's so crazy, dude. It's so crazy that those sentences are not hyperbole. They're not, because I'm gonna skip a question then come back. Does everybody really think Michigan can beat Georgia?
Yes,
they can. They can. I would, if that matchup happens, I would expect Georgia to be favored by a little bit, not by a lot. Not after what we saw against Ohio State. Not after we saw. I mean, Georgia's defense is phenomenal. Like historically, one of the best defenses in several years. But Michigan has a way, man. They got a way of leaning on teams and getting what they want and getting better as the game goes on and grinding it out.
And they control the game. Typically goes the way they want it to go and at their pace. And so if you can do that, yes, Georgia's got some dudes on the defensive side of the ball. Dudes. But schematically, you know, if Gattis and that side of the ball can cook up something, I mean, I just feel like all of the sudden they're firing on all cylinders. They will use their weapons if necessary. The Michigan Wolverines are dangerous, and I don't know that there's a team in the country that wants to play them right now. You would rather not play Michigan right now.
Unfortunately,
Iowa has to.
Not after what we saw on Saturday. Nobody wants a piece of that. Nobody. Nobody does. This was the comment that I was going to come back to from Travis Connor. Thoughts on Ronnie Bell coming back? Not surprising, but it's awesome. It's huge. It's a big deal. You know, hopefully he gets back to even 90% or whatever. You know, ACLs are – we think it's an ACL. I don't think that was ever actually confirmed, but it was a knee. I don't think anybody at Michigan ever said the words ACL, but I think that's what everybody assumes it was. So you just hope that at a position like wide receiver where explosiveness and suddenness and cutting is super important, that he gets back to what he was. And the ACL injury now is not what it was 15 years ago. I mean, guys come back in 6-8 months and, you know, you never even know they were hurt. They don't even wear knee braces anymore. They're just ready to roll. So you hope that Ronnie can get back to that, but it's huge because of his leadership, his experience. I mean, he'll be the old head in the room, and he'll be able to bring guys along, and he's really freaking good if he can get back to what he was before. So, I mean, we talked about this before. I think that it was like not quite a no-brainer, but pretty close, right, that he was going to be back.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, when Jim Harbaugh was talking the other day about this core group of players that pulled this team along and sort of reset the culture and the foundation at within the football program, Ronnie Bell was one of those guys. And so you're going to lose some of those key players. You're going to lose a Josh Ross. You're going to lose an Aiden Hutchinson. You're going to lose part of that core group that really helped build this foundation. Having a guy like Ronnie Bell come back, not only does it, you know, spell good things for just his production, what's going to happen on the football field, but just in terms of his leadership and what he means to that football team, you can never have enough guys like that. So you got Ronnie Bell's, the Blake Corum's coming back. mentally, you know, talent wise, we'll figure out what they have coming back once the draft stuff gets settled. But mentally, they've got a strong team coming back. They've got guys meditating pregame, Brandon. Meditating. Barefoot.
On the field.
I didn't see a Buckeye meditating pregame. Maybe that's the problem.
It's wild out here in the Tree City, man. Tell you what. I want to throw this up. We touched on it a little bit, Chris, but I think this is a very, very interesting discussion that does make a difference for what Michigan could potentially see should they get past Iowa this weekend. TJ asks, do we think that if Alabama beats Georgia, that Michigan would get the number one seed? I don't. I don't think that Michigan would move up to number one. I think Michigan would stay right where they're at number two. I think Alabama would move to one and Georgia would go to three. I think that's what would happen if Alabama wins this weekend. I think Alabama would move to one because I guess by like the transitive property or the precedents that's already been set, if Michigan was five and beat two and moved up to two, then Bama at three beating one should move up to one. I mean, like, I can see the committee really rationally going through it just like that and say, well, we just did it last week with Michigan and Ohio State. It's got to be the same thing. At that point, Michigan and Alabama would both only have one loss. Michigan's loss, I think, would be better to Michigan State versus Alabama's to Texas A&M. But I think you could make the argument that Alabama's big win over number one and undefeated Georgia was a better big win than Michigan's over Ohio State by a little bit. So I think Alabama would move to number one. Chris, tell me why I'm wrong, because we've already had this discussion away from the live here.
Well, I think a lot of it will depend on how the game looks. I mean, if Michigan comes out and has another dominant win in the Big Ten championship and Alabama squeaks by Georgia, to me, it makes a strong case for Michigan to move into that number one spot. The thing that I hope is that I wouldn't want to see a Georgia-Alabama national championship. I don't want to see that be a possibility. So at least if they were to get paired somehow in the first round, if that was how it was going to work with a Georgia loss, you might be able to mitigate that a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think you're probably right in the way that you think it will play out. I just find myself like, I don't care as much. I'm so excited that we're in it. I don't care who we play. I think they're ready. But obviously, I would rather play Cincy first round if I could pick.
Now here's a really good point kind of on this same topic that we're talking about. CJ from the Facebook page also thinks maybe Houston beats Cincinnati and maybe Baylor beats Oklahoma State. And then we've got a whole different mess of stuff to talk about who Michigan might face in that 2-3 matchup if that's how it plays out. I don't think there's any possible way Michigan gets to number one because of who's at 1 and 3. That's my opinion. I just don't think it's going to happen. And honestly, I mean, yeah, dude, if some of these other games go slightly differently than everybody's kind of predicting, Cincinnati loses, Oklahoma State loses, then maybe Notre Dame gets up. I mean, like, it just gets really kind of crazy at that point. Baylor obviously would have a chance to maybe leapfrog somebody and jump into the mix a little bit. It gets really, really interesting. But no matter what happens behind Michigan or slightly in front of whatever, I don't think there's any way Michigan gets to number one. I think that's fine. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You got to go out and play who you have to play.
I mean, if it's another performance like what we saw against Ohio State, and it's a relatively close game between Bama and Georgia, you don't see a scenario where Michigan gets to number one in that scenario?
Say it again. Say it one more time.
If Michigan does to Iowa what they did to Ohio State,
okay,
they win that, or maybe even more convincingly, And Bama and Georgia duke it out for a little bit, and it's a close game. In that scenario, even if Bama pulls it out, you don't think that a dominant Michigan win over a close Bama win would propel them to the number one spot? Just given, listen to the way the committee talks about the Michigan Wolverines. They talk about them as one of the most complete teams in college football. And you had what the hell is his name? I forget the head. Whatever the hell his name is for the college. So I think he had said something to the effect of he wasn't all that surprised by the result from Saturday, which I find that hard to believe. But the fact that he said, you know, they're a complete team. We're not that surprised by how well they performed. And so I think the committee is very, very high on Michigan. And if they go and have another big time performance in Indy, I find it hard to believe they wouldn't be propelled into that number one spot, considering they're sitting cozy there at number two.
you might have an argument there. If Michigan comes out, beats Iowa 45-10, and Alabama wins 20-17, just kind
of. And Aiden Hutchinson is ripping his jersey off, and iPads going everywhere.
Maybe.
A pick six by Hutchinson, and he does the Jordan pose on over the goal line.
I know you've got maize and blue streaks in your draws right now, dude. The committee likes Bama quite a bit, too. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's Bama.
They're tired of Bama. They're tired of it.
Are they?
There's a new darling in town. Sorry.
All right. Look, if then you got to think about what the 1-4 matchup would be like. If that does Georgia, because look, Georgia's not falling out of the playoff. They're in. They're in. So it's either they're going to be 2, 3, or 4 if they lose to Alabama. If they're 2 or 3, that means, and Michigan's 1, that means they're playing Alabama again, right?
Why not? Why not? Or just settle it.
Or they're at 4. And they got to play Michigan. Like, I don't think Michigan fans really want. I want this thing to ride out as long as they can. And playing Georgia in the first round is the most likely early exit. I mean, I think Michigan can beat Georgia, but I think Georgia's the better team all around right now. But it's
Well, I also thought Ohio State was the better. I said that, and some people actually got pissed off by that. But when you just look at like talent and the type of recruits that Ohio State has on their roster, top to bottom, it's just a more talented team. They have more highly rated players, but it doesn't matter if you can't put it together on Saturdays. And so, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
That's fine. It's a great point. Jonah brings up, what's the biggest concern for Michigan with Iowa's game? And I think it's honestly, what's been the biggest concern for Michigan all season, and they've killed it just about every week. Dude, if they don't turn it over, they win the game. If they don't turn the ball over, they'll beat Iowa. I don't think Iowa has enough firepower. I don't think they have enough defensive fortitude to really slow Michigan down. If Michigan doesn't turn it over a bunch of times, I mean, dude, they had the only turnover in the game against Ohio State and still did what they did.
Yeah.
So unless they turn it over a bunch of times, I don't think they're going to have much trouble. And the problem with that for Iowa is that Michigan doesn't play a brand of football that's, that leads to turnovers.
Good luck trying to rip it away from Hassan Haskins.
Yes. Or good luck intercepting, one of Cade's 21 passes that don't go more than 10 yards.
A quick hitter on a slant,
It's the criticism that's been there, but now that we've seen it work week after week after week after week, it's not a criticism anymore. It's a strength, and it's working. So good luck to Iowa trying to get the ball away from Michigan when they play that way. And because of that, I think they're going to beat them pretty easily. They're favored by 10 or 11, depending on where you look. I think it's going to be worse than that. I do. Yeah, I think it's going to be another look up at the end of the game, and Michigan's up 20 and they're Big Ten champs. That's what I think we're going to see on Saturday.
Yeah, that's it right there. It's turnovers. That's the biggest concern. If Michigan turns the ball over in Indy, it's probably going to make for a long night. If they don't turn the ball over, I think they win convincingly.
Let's see. Keeping on close, Austin. This is something that I didn't really think we'd have much discussion about. But Josh Gattis has been really freaking good the last handful of weeks, and he's been before he came to Michigan. He was kind of like a fringe mention guy as a potential head coaching candidate. It's going to be a low level job at first, I think. I don't think he's lit the world on fire enough at Michigan as the OC to get a high level Power Five head coaching job, but a bottom feeder in a Power Five conference or a decent or better than decent Group of Five job might take a look at him and look at his track record and look at what he's been able to do at a place like Michigan and his age and his background. I don't think so right now, but it's not the craziest thing I've heard, which is kind of wild to say, because there was a stretch of time there where I think Chris and I both may have blasted Gattis to the moon. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it got like that intense, but there was a while there where it's like, what is the speed and space? The offense is getting worse every year. Like, what's he doing? What's happening up there in the booth?
Well, that's what happens when what you're doing isn't working. Like, for whatever reason, it wasn't just like it didn't work for 1 or 2 years. Like, things haven't been working for a little while. And I think you would find you we had found out that there were some issues prior to this season. There might have been some culture issues. There might have been some members of the team that didn't really mesh well. And now things are going really well. And obviously Gattis is doing what's been expected of him. Jim Harbaugh's doing what's expected of him. And the tone has changed. The opinion has changed, and rightfully so. When guys start performing the way you expect them to perform, it's okay to give credit where credit's due, and they're performing. And because of that, I would expect Josh Gattis's name to come up in certain situations. But again, just like the same situation with Mike McDonald, you know, you got JJ McCarthy there. You've got some interesting weapons. You're finally starting to get some things rolling. To me, I think Gattis has put in some time and he's trying to prove his worth. And I don't know that he's quite done it yet. He's put together, you know, a pretty good stretch here, but I don't know that he's, you know, I feel like if you leave now, you kind of, you're on a good path. You've got some momentum going. Try to ride that for a little bit longer. I feel like that's the case for everybody on this coaching staff. These guys all are having a pretty incredible year. I think see how long you can ride that.
You just made a good point right there, man. If he comes back and puts together an entire season of tape, like his last three or four games, then you might talk, then you might start talking about a decent high level power five kind of job. Maybe.
Yeah.
Again, he checks a lot of boxes that people are looking for when it comes to coaching positions. Offensive-minded, young dude, getting better, his background, all that. I mean, he does check a lot of boxes, so I think that's going to be interesting to watch. And this kind of leads us into another where to go. CJ Frazier right here, great question. Would we be surprised if Mike Hart leaves after this season? Heard some talk about OC jobs, maybe even a head coaching job. He was an associate head coach at Indiana. I know Ward Manuel is very, very high on Mike Hart. He's obviously a darling of the program. So that muddies the waters a little bit on whether or not he would want to leave a place like Michigan to take another job. I think there's a handful of guys that could be maybe on the hook, or at least keep an eye out for a promotion. I think Mike Hart would be one. I think Sharon Moore would be one. We just talked about Josh Gattis. I truly don't think that Mike McDonald is on that watch just yet. It's year one, man. And he's young and he just got going in college. Like I said, if the NFL comes knocking, that's a little different. I might see something like that as a more of a possibility. And then the last one for me is Steve Klinkscale, because he's a little bit older. He's been around a little bit more. His DBs in the pass defense for Michigan, they've been pretty darn good this year. Some school might look at him and say he needs to be a DC somewhere. I think that's about the extent of the guys that you might want to watch out for that might get a chance to look somewhere else. That's my big picture look. Why don't you give your thoughts on this Mike Hart specific deal? Because he's good, man. That's the bottom line. He's really good.
Well, the short answer is no. There might be some talks about a head coaching position or something else, but he's got good relationships in place with guys like Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. And I think, again, that, you know, he's got a history with this program. There's a connection there. And so I think that connection alone will keep him in Ann Arbor for multiple years, at least 2 years. I don't think Michigan's in any danger of losing him after this season. I'm going to duck out and come back in. I'm getting an echo.
Okay. It would be, I think at this point I would call that a surprise. I would be quite surprised if Mike Hart is looking around or is on his way out after one season with the kind of success he's had. Chris just mentioned it, the success that running back room has had, the talent that he would have in that room coming back next year. It seems like I would be pretty surprised if Mike Hart was not on the Michigan sideline next year, but you know, Dude, it's college football, it's coaching, it's the carousel. We've seen some of the crazier examples just over the last 48 hours of how fast this thing can change with some of the biggest jobs and some of the biggest names in the profession. So nobody's safe and nobody's off limits in these kinds of things. Contracts don't mean shit. It's like,
what did Harbaugh say not too long ago? He said, you lease the position at best, whether it's quarterback, head coaching, you lease it at best. He gets
right.
Everybody gets what it is.
Yeah, he's right. So I've seen a lot of people talk about giving McDonald a raise. I wouldn't be surprised at all if multiple guys were in line for a raise, him being one of them, Sharon Moore being another as an O-line coach, co-OC. Gattis has proven to be pretty good again down the stretch here these last three, four, five games, whatever it's been. So there's that to me is a better talk to have. Keep these guys here. Yeah. You've got a bunch of young dudes, the diversity we talked about all season long. The energy, the charisma, the connection, all of it is working clearly.
And it clearly took so much to get to this point. This is all nearly 7 years of work put into this thing. And this group came together and it seems like, you know, they're getting it done. I get that it's a business, but I just feel like when something like this happens, you kind of want to try to ride it out and see, you know, see if you can rip off a couple of championships.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
it's not always the best thing to just take the next, you know,
look, man,
again, Michigan is a good place to be.
Now, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, that's damn near exactly what I'm saying. If one of these guys is really looking around, and that, full disclosure, I haven't heard anything about that from right. anybody. And you start to hear that stuff about right now during the year when you're in between end of the regular season, championship week, bowl games. This is when all that stuff starts to swirl. I haven't heard a peep on any of the Michigan coaches. That's not to say some of them might not leave, but I have not heard anything about that. So you got to keep an ear out for it. You keep watching for it, keep seeing what you hear, but I haven't really heard anything. This is a very interesting question from Kyle. Who do we trust more in a game that matters, Stetson Bennett or Cade McNamara? I think they're very similar quarterbacks. Both of them are game manager guys that have a lot of talent, a lot of weapons around them, and benefit from having a really strong, efficient defense that doesn't give up a lot of big plays and big points. And I just think they're really close. Full disclosure, I haven't watched a lot of complete games of Stetson Bennett, but I know the bill on him. I know what he's about. I know what he's able to do. I know when he won the job, it was like, now you got this guy winning the job over all these big time talented, you know, 5-star recruits. And it's Stetson Bennett. That sounds like Cade McNamara a little bit to me. And I know they're, you know, in terms of arm strength, athleticism, they're not elite, but they just get the job done. They don't turn it over. They take care of the ball. They make plays when they need to make them. So I don't even know if I have an answer for that. Who would you take in a game like this?
I'll tell you who I'm taking.
The snake.
Cade the snake.
You're taking
the desert. Snake. The desert rattler.
You're on board, dude. You
did, I
are...
tell you, did I tell you I sent Cade an apology? I sent him an apology.
Well,
I wrote an apology to Cade McNamara.
I wouldn't do that. It's our job to criticize, man. I mean, when it's warranted.
Listen.
Here when he's throwing less passes than Army, I'm thinking like, what the
hell?
Listen.
Well, here, let me rephrase. I don't know that it was apology. I just said, you know, look, we clearly doubted him for a bulk of the season, and we thought his ceiling wasn't high enough to get to Indy. And I think when somebody goes out and kind of proves you're completely wrong and shuts you up, it's okay to say, hey man, I was totally wrong about you, and you're legit. You're that dude. So
yeah.
Come back. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's,
which is weird to be saying that.
We talked about that too. What goes, and I see a couple people putting it in there. What goes on at quarterback next year for Michigan? Somebody asked, does JJ redshirt? No way. He's not going to do that. He's too good, man. He's too good. And he's actually played in college.
Might just be a true two quarterback system. Like this was a little bit of a splash of it. Next year you go to the two quarterback. And then after that, you fully transition over to JJ.
Man.
And it might work.
Yeah, well, I think you could say pretty profoundly that it's already worked. I mean, in a lot of ways,
This whole, I don't know, people talking about Spencer Rattler. No, he's not coming here. No, Michigan wouldn't want him. That's not honestly happening.
I've been kind of skipping over it because it's barely even discussable. I mean, like, Michigan's quarterback room is already too crowded, and that kid's just a wiener. I mean, like, just go away, dude. It's not even a remote possibility in my opinion. I don't know. I don't even think it needed really be talked about. There's the real Rattler, right?
Cade the Snake. That's the Rattler. That's right. Rattler Snake from the desert out in Reno.
All right. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this. I know we kind of bag on Brian Kelly for being a douche nozzle a little bit.
Did Lincoln Riley kill a guy? I don't think so. Are we allowed to talk about that allegedly? I don't know.
Top rope.
Here's the thing. Brian Kelly, hands down. We've already talked about, like, Lincoln Riley. I don't really have a reason not to like Lincoln Riley. I mean, look, he took a job that he thought was better for him, and I don't, you know,
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Does a guy leaving a job, even if it was kind of like a dick move, like a couple of these seem to, does that make him a bad guy? Who wouldn't do that? Who's not taking an amazing, better job?
See,
no
me,
matter what.
to me, it's different when, you know, when college football players or college athletes in general were limited in terms of what they could do and what type of movement they could make. They could commit to a coach in a school and that coach could turn around, you know, a week later and be gone and have all of that. You know, there was a story that came out. I think one of the Notre Dame assistants was literally in the home of a recruit when that text came through. And as he was leaving, he said, "It made me feel like a total asshole," because he went and sold the program. And as he's selling it, the coach leaves. So, you know, I think Brian Kelly just has a track record of these little things. If you go back and read, there's been little things that have come out about Brian Kelly and the way he is and the way he interacts with his players, the way he is within the community. I don't know how much of it is true, but because of the fact I don't like his face, I'll go with Brian Kelly.
There you go. I'm fine with that.
Sometimes it just comes down to the face. It really does for me.
This is a funny question. Does Aiden Hutchinson get in on offense to score a touchdown this week?
He should.
I'll tell you what, I watched him in high school. The kid can absolutely have been an All-American tight end if he had played on that side of the ball. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's an athlete, man.
I mean, go back and watch his tape of him making some catches in the end zone. Yeah,
he can play. I don't think we see that, but that would be – you know, throw him a little Heisman bone in the Big Ten championship game. I don't know. I mean, you're talented.
You know what? They've been pushing the Hutchinson for Heisman thing. I'm telling you, if Michigan is in control and they get down in the red zone, do not be surprised if number 97 goes trotting out on the field. And I'm telling you, the top will blow off of Lucas Oil if Aiden Hutchinson scores a damn touchdown.
I mean, this is not a slight at Luke Schoonmaker at all, but what kind of a drop-off are we talking here? You take out Schoonmaker, you put in Aiden.
It can't be much. Is there anything Aiden Hutchinson can't do?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, no, I don't. We're not going to see. I would be shocked if we saw it. I don't think we're going to see it. But that's a funny thing to talk about, especially given the fact that the little hashtag.
You need to start making the push for it now.
Yeah, Hutch for Heisman, right? That's what they want to see.
Well, Hutch for a touchdown on Saturday. Give him the damn ball.
Hutch for a touch.
Ooh, the Hutch touch.
Hutch touch. There you go. Got a little excited there. Got a little excited there.
Shout out Louis Miller. Louis, I've seen your comments. I appreciate you. Louis sent me a picture. He got a pop socket with the winged helmet logo on the pop socket. Just rocking the logo out there.
You getting any trooper?
Nah, man. I appreciate him for repping the brand.
Just wondering. All right.
The Hutch touch. There you go. Hashtag the Hutch touch. Let's make it happen.
Hashtag Hutch touch.
Hutchdown. David Lange. That's a pretty good one.
That's not bad either. We had a little discussion about this. I think we did maybe on Monday. I think, was it one of your burning questions or it came up?
Yes.
It came up at some point. All right. So Jeremy from the YouTube page, all the crazy salaries being thrown out there. Yeah. You know, Mel Tucker gets $95 million. James Franklin gets $85 million. I've heard a bunch of crazy numbers thrown about for Lincoln Riley. Same thing with Brian Kelly. I think he was up 80, 90 million, something like that, maybe 100 million, whatever it was. Is there any way to not increase Jim Harbaugh's salary? It's a valid question at this point now.
Well, here's what I would say. I would have said yes up until what I heard before about this whole, you know, donating of the bonuses and what, like, I'm not so sure that it's going to be necessary. You look at what's gone on with James Franklin. You look at what's gone on with Mel Tucker. Coaches are getting paid and Jim Harbaugh is about to have his team in Indy and quite possibly the college football playoffs. So you would think that would lead to, you know, something with his contract. But in all honesty, I feel like the restructuring of the contract is partially why we're at this point right now with the football program. I think that needed to happen in order for Michigan to get here. So I don't know that on the heels of one good season, you all of a sudden throw that away and go back to what you've been doing before. It seems like having an incentive-based contract has worked really, really well. And so with everything going on, don't change anything. Just keep doing it the way they've been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue at this point. I mean, it is hard to argue at this point. this is from like 7 minutes ago. Chris, pull the cockles.
What was I saying? Was it Cade the Snake that got me all amped up?
Again, I'm telling you, I'm like scrolling so fast. I'm still 7-8 minutes behind.
I'm asking, am I going streaking in Indy if Michigan wins? I don't. There's no telling what happens when the alcohol starts flowing. That's part of the reason why we can't ever go live.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, We try to keep it PG 13, but
this is a great capper. We are going to close with this because it's about to happen. We need to sign off so that people can get ready to watch the basketball game. What do we think is going to happen with Michigan and Chapel Hill tonight? Does Juwan get some of those issues corrected and can they get a W? As far as I know, North Carolina is not ranked and they're not as quite as loaded in terms of like all Americans as they usually are. I think they're 4-2, same record as Michigan. It's a home game. They're a proud program. They know what's going on in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. So I'm sure they're going to come out playing well. I'm a little nervous. I think some of the issues that have shown up for Michigan have been repeated issues, and it kind of seems like it's going to take a little time to iron them out. Michigan also hasn't played in about a week with the holidays and everything going on. I don't know, man. I think when I first looked at it and I first saw Michigan going to North Carolina, I said, if they play how they've been playing, that's going to be another loss. You know, this isn't Tarleton State, man. This is UNC. It's the Tar Heels. I don't know. I admit I haven't done a deep dive into what this matchup looks like and who might have the edge here. But I, at first glance, and the fact that this one's on the road, I saw that kind of looking like another L, man. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see what it looks like here in about 10 minutes.
Well, Madeline Joy's got she's got Musa getting the start tonight. So I don't know. Did anything come out, or is Madeline just, is she looking into the crystal ball and saying, hey, Moose is going to, you know, I don't know. It's tough to win in Chapel Hill, and Michigan's been struggling a little bit. And I mean, you know, sometimes I think you find out a lot about your team in games like this, especially when you've been struggling. How do they respond? How do they come out? What does the fight look like? And I think,
well,
you obviously want them to win. Go ahead.
Michigan favored by 2.5. I did not know that. I would have actually thought it would have been about the other way. I was thinking probably a bucket or two for Carolina. They're at home. We'll see. It's not. Michigan's the favorite by 2.5.
Oh, see, there you go. Madeline Joy, it's on their Twitter. Musa is going to get the start tonight. So okay. What we'll see, you know, maybe that's the spark that's going to help. I know that he's the energy. He brings that KG mentality out there. And again, if you're going to get back on track, you go into a hostile environment like that and you fight like hell. And sometimes that can be the difference in how your team responds for the rest of the year. So I think that's all you really want to see is them come out and put up one hell of a fight and let it fall where it may.
And maybe switching up the starting lineup like that is a yeah. I talked about it after the last game. I think if Musa's in there, I think he's immediately your starting lineup is better. And I think Brandon Johns is just so good at coming off the bench, man. He's been doing that.
Really
he's
good in that role.
High. You know, he can go a little harder because I think he plays a little timid. He's been a little soft and a little timid going to the rack as a starter. If you're a backup, you don't have to worry about that. Go out there and get a foul or two going to the rack or, you know, defending a dunk at the basket or whatever it might be, anything that he's good and built for, he doesn't have to worry as much. So we'll see. Do you want to throw a prediction out? I mean, I know we haven't really done that for basketball much. What do you think?
The game tonight? Yeah, I got the Wolverines 78, North Carolina 73.
I'm going to change up a little bit too, knowing that Moose is starting now and actually seeing Michigan as the favorite. I think it is going to be close. I'm going to go Michigan 68, North Carolina 65. A little 3-point win for Michigan in Chapel Hill. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Chris?
I love it. You know what else I love? Hashtag Hutch Touch. Love it. We need it. Get it going.
That's pretty strong. There you have it, everybody. We will be back on Friday night, the night before the Big Ten championship game. And that means Chris will hit the road on Saturday, and we'll be in Indy for the rest of the weekend. Thanks for tuning in as always. Check us out again on Friday. Head over to WolverineDigest.com. Check all the stuff we've been putting out. Good stuff from our intern, by the way, Josh Taubman. A couple of really nice pieces. He put something up yesterday. Got another one coming in a little bit. We'll talk to you guys on Friday night.
Indeed.